whole foods full of fiber, vitamins, and nutrients. Number three, imbalances or weaknesses are corrected now. Heck, even these athletes can have weaknesses. That's why we emphasize soft tissue work before a session. That's why we do a lot of flexibility post-workout. And it's why we incorporate Pilates, yoga, and bodywork into their programs. We do a ton of unilateral work in the weight room and emphasize the backside of the body, the non-mirrored muscles. But the message is the same for everyone who trains at Fitness Quest 10. Fight imbalances to help stave off injury and improve performance. Number four, environment counts. The energy at Fitness Quest 10 is always electric. And while we pride ourselves on high energy all the time, it turns up a few decibels in July. Think about it. Don't environment and energy play a critical role in the quality of your sessions and training? The music, the people you train with or around, the pulse, the vibe, the clanking of iron. Ah, it's summertime. From 7-year-olds to 87-year-olds to everyone in between, summer ratchets up the energy a few more notches for the Joes and the pros, and I love it. Number five, make the right choices. Closely related to environment, the choices made by each of my guys outside the gym go a long way toward determining the outcome of their hard work. Yes, where you train, who you train with, what you eat, when you eat, and how you recover are key. But there's more. Who you spend time with, who you socialize with, what you watch on TV, what you read, all of this counts, and they know it. Number six, get your mind right. Some guys are stars in the league. Some guys are backups. Some guys are bubble guys. And some are still trying to hold on to the dream. Each must have a steadfast belief in himself and in his dream. Number seven, attention to details. If you ever saw Darren Sproles practice on the field, you would see him run 40 yards down the field after every catch he makes. And this is in practice. Yes, I said practice. He's getting used to yak yards, yards after the catch. And if you ever saw Drew Brees practicing his field work in July, you would see him work his mental checklist on a continuous loop. Over and over, his checks, his reads, and different scenarios he will face. The best of the best athletes are meticulous with attention to details. They practice the details in every training session because the details pay dividends come game day. Number eight, focus. The NFL athletes are zeroed in right now. Focus like thoroughbreds ready to run the Kentucky Derby or opening day at Del Mar. When you know what you need to do and want to do and you're intensely focused on achieving that dream, anything is possible. Number nine, be humble, be hungry. The athletes who come to Fitness Quest 10 are humble. They set great examples. They're great role models for our kids, and they fit right into the positive culture in the Fitness Quest 10 DNA. These guys are also incredibly hungry and work their tails off to be the best they can possibly be. It shows up in how they train and how they practice and how they play on Sundays. This is a combination that's unbeatable. And number 10, 1% better every day. My late friend Ken Sawyer lived by a mantra called do better. See WOW number 3 and WOW number 31. With the mindset and attitude for continual improvement, our athletes pursue excellence every day. It all comes down to habits and best practices. I wanted to share some of the best practices I see from behind the scenes working with some of the best athletes in the world. But this list is not only for athletes. If you train and live with the same discipline, the same work ethic, and the same mindset, you will see great results. Not only in your physical conditioning, but in your entire life as well. And remember, when you're picking your fantasy teams this season, you can never go wrong picking a Fitness Quest 10 athlete. Action step. Take a couple of these key points from above and implement them into your own routine. They all count and they all pay great dividends. WOW number 36, precious moments. I love the quote, life is defined not by the number of breaths you take, but by the moments that take your breath away. When my daughter McKenna was in kindergarten, I had one of those magical moments that lasts a lifetime. It was the father-daughter dance, and we were both so looking forward to going to it. McKenna primped all afternoon with my wife, Melanie. They got flowers for her hair. McKenna picked out her favorite fancy dress and looked adorable when she was ready to go. I got my suit pressed, my dozen roses, and corsage ordered, and wrote a little note to McKenna, letting her know how much I was looking forward to our time together. As we drove over to the venue, we listened to our favorite song, Jersey Boys, My Eyes Adored You. She shared that she was a little nervous going to her first dance, but her butterflies soon subsided as we walked in and she saw a bunch of her friends. And while there were many great parts of the night, here was perhaps the most precious one. The dance ran from 6 to 8 p.m. We were dancing away on the floor after dinner when McKenna just looked at me and said, "Daddy, I'm really tired. Can we go home now?" I looked at my watch, and it was just shy of 7 p.m. I looked at her little round sleepy eyes, and you could tell that her bedtime had hit. She looked so tired. My little precious princess was exhausted, and she wanted to get going home. I just smiled and said, "Of course, McKenna, let's get going." She was in bed before 8 p.m. that night, and I tucked her in and just smiled. Life is defined by the precious moments that take your breath away, and this was one of them. We were only at the dance about an hour. We had a great time, but my 5-year-old couldn't fight being tired any longer. For those of you with older kids, I'm constantly reminded of how quickly the time passes by. I get it. I see it. I understand it. And it was just so awesome to be present in this moment with my little girl and know how quickly this time would pass. On the drive home, I could see her tired little eyes getting heavier and heavier. And I thought about our upcoming dances. I thought about how someday, God willing, I will see her get married. And I realized how quickly that day would be here. Truly a precious moment. They don't all have to be big things. They don't have to be dances or weddings or big vacation getaways. Serve others. Slow down enough to be present in all conversations. Put a smile on someone else's face. Teach or coach someone something new, or create experiences that will make a difference in other people's lives. Now that would be precious. Thank you, McKenna, for reminding me that great things come in small, precious packages. You just got to keep your eyes open to capture the moments, even when they can't. Action step. What little moments in time can you create or capture that are precious today? What are some small little things you can capture at work, at home, while working out, while spending time with loved ones that are precious? What moments or experiences can you create to leave a lasting memory? Wow, number 37, recharge. It's amazing what even 24 hours away will do for the soul. My wife Melanie and I got away for a night to a day spa called Two Bunch Palms to recharge. On the drive out to the desert, Melanie and I got so immersed in conversation that I literally went 25 miles past the exit I was supposed to turn off on. And instead of a 2-hour drive, it turned into a 3-hour journey. We both laughed, saying, "We must really have needed to talk." Heck, it shows you how much even just a good drive can do for communication with the spouse. We talk kids, relationship, work, dreams, and the next thing I knew, I was seeing signs for Phoenix, Arizona. Uh-oh. Man, having that driving time with Melanie was one of my highlights. Lounging in the grotto pool, hot tub, cold pool, eating together, yoga, getting body treatments, and time away were all fantastic also. I turned off my phone on Saturday afternoon and didn't turn it on until Sunday afternoon. Wow. Try doing that. 24 hours of disconnecting. No phone, no texting, no emailing, no tweeting, no Facebooking, no Instagramming. 100% recharge time. Dang, it actually felt great. I could have used another week of that, but hey, I'll take a day. Try it sometime and see how great you feel. Let me just offer this. We all need more mellow yellow time, and it must be built into the calendar. I learned this from one of my mentors, Wayne Cotton, many years ago. I can't emphasize enough how important it is to schedule this recharge time on your calendar now. Maybe it's a one-day trip, maybe it's a long weekend, maybe it's a week-long trip, or maybe you start to plan your dream trip for your future. But get that carrot on the calendar now. When we left the spa grounds, we felt great. My skin felt rejuvenated from the fresh mineral water in the pools, the massage, and all the relaxation. My head was clear, my face was relaxed, and my energy was vibrant, recharged. In today's hustle and bustle, busy world, we all need a good recharge of the body, mind, and spirit. A drive in the car, getting into nature, getting some body work, disconnecting from technology, and tapping into your inner self, even for a night or two or three or more at a resort, can do wonders. Energy is everything, and in order to create and maintain positive energy, we all need to recharge our batteries more often. Honor your energy and spirit each day. It is amazing what a recharge does for your body, mind, and soul. Action step. What can you do to recharge your body and mind today, this week, or this month? Maybe it's an hour of restorative yoga. Maybe it's turning off technology for an hour or 4 hours or 8 hours so you can journal or work on a project that moves your soul. Maybe it's a 1 hour or 90 minute massage. Maybe it's a drive into the country with a spouse, child, or loved one just to connect in conversation, or maybe just by yourself. Maybe it's a rule that there are no phones at the table during meals this week. Maybe it's booking your next family trip. Get something on the calendar, book it, honor it, and recharge. You will not be disappointed. Wow number 38, approachable. I was walking through McCarran Airport in Las Vegas one evening, getting ready to depart on a flight after having taught at a fitness conference. As I was approaching my gate, a young gal, about 25 years old, stopped me literally in the middle of the walkway at the airport. And she said, "You're Todd Durkin, right? I've read your Impact Body Plan. I want to become a trainer. I follow your plan. I live by Impact. I follow your social media, and I'm a huge fan. I'm in another field now, but want to become a trainer." I was like, wow, that's really cool. And in Vegas, of all places, I was very glad she stopped me and spoke to me. I felt like a rock star. Truth is, many people within the fitness or sports training industry may recognize me, but not a ton of folks outside of that. So man, it made me feel so special to be recognized. Later on the plane, I thought some more. Approachable. I wonder if clients felt like they could approach me or my teammates when they had a question or if they had a problem. I wondered if my team felt like they could approach me if they had a question or wanted feedback or they had a problem. I wondered if my kids felt comfortable approaching me to talk about anything. Leaders are approachable. This means warm, caring, genuine, truly interested, non-intimidating, and great listeners. I hope that I'm always approachable. How about you? Are you approachable? And if you ever see me out and about, please approach me. Let's get a picture together and spread some wow across the universe. Action step. What can you do to become more approachable this week? Who can you approach this week and acknowledge, praise, or encourage? Wow number 39, candy and willpower. Could you give up candy for a year? Or how about coffee, or nicotine, or wine, or chocolate, or TV, or social media? My son Luke gave up candy at the age of 11 for an entire year. One entire year. 365 days, no candy, no soda. Seriously. As a kid, that's tough. Heck, as an adult, that would be tough. And Luke did it. From April 1st, 2014 to April 1st, 2015. No joke. That included Halloween, birthday parties, a trip to Europe. Man, the chocolate in Austria was delicious too. And any other day that his friend's brother or sister ate candy in front of him. and all of it was on his own volition, his choice, his willpower. You see, on April 1st, 2014, my wife Melanie and he were in a discussion about a friend of his who had resolved to give up soda for a year. And that young man completed it. So Luke said to his mom, "Mom, what will you give me if I give up candy and soda for a year?" Melanie, with a slight grin and confidence that he couldn't do it, replied, $500. Half goes in the bank, or we invest it, and you can spend the other half however you want. And you will also feel a lot better. And that was all it took. I'm not sure he did it for the health reasons or the money reasons, but it really doesn't matter. He did it. One straight year without any candy or soda. And I'm so proud of him. To think about the sacrifice, discipline, and willpower it took to accomplish that is impressive. Heck, to do anything for a year straight is impressive. Or to not do something for a year is impressive. Maybe it's caffeine or nicotine or alcohol or fast food or TV. Hey, I'm not saying chocolate or coffee is bad in moderation or a glass of wine a week is bad for you, but sometimes you just want to see if you can make a serious commitment and accomplishment. Or you may want to strengthen your willpower so you put it to the test, giving it a workout, so to speak. Thanks, Luke. You showed me great resolve and mental toughness in not giving in when you really wanted to. You really bulked up your willpower muscle. Now take that $250 and go invest it. Much love, much sacrifice, and much less candy. Action step. Is there any habit in your life that you would like to see if you could give up or eliminate? Maybe it's for 1 week, maybe a month or 3 months, or maybe even a full year. Search your heart, put something on it, and then do it. Wow, number 40, wagon tails. They say a dog is man's best friend. I think they're right. I remember my old golden retriever, Sid, when he was 13 and 14 years old. He was old. I had to carry him up the steps at night because his legs would give out. His hearing was about done. He didn't move around very well anymore. But he still wagged his tail when I would walk in the door at night. He would wag his tail when we pet him, when we scratched his belly, and when we fed him. Basically, he would wag his tail whenever we paid attention to him and gave him some love. He was happy. I sometimes say to my athletes and clients even now, wag your tail today. I got this from a strength and conditioning coach friend of mine, Kevin Rayom, who used it with his athletes at La Jolla Country Day School. I use it now too, and I like it. Wag that tail. So what does it mean to wag your tail? Wagging your tail can mean you have swagger. I think all athletes need swagger. I'm not saying to be braggart or to be cocky. I'm simply saying to walk tall, walk confidently, and wag your tail. Body language must ooze confidence all the time. Wagging your tail can mean that you might need to fake it till you make it. I know there are days when you don't feel your best. Maybe you're facing challenge or adversity. Maybe there's an energy vampire in your life. You're beat up, defeated, and downtrodden. I get it. It happens. But it doesn't mean you have to live in that world. Fill your mind with positivity and tell yourself to walk tall. Don't ever stop wagging your tail. I promise you, the simple act of wagging it can get your mood going in the right direction. So wag it, baby. Wag it. Wagging your tail means you're happy. It's important that we all shine in our lives, and we can best shine when we appreciate the small things in life. A friendly greeting, a warm touch, a good meal, connecting with someone you love. The message today is simple. Wag your tail, and then tell your friends, colleagues, coworkers, clients, patients, children, and family to do the same. It puts a smile on your face and one on everyone around you. Say to them when leaving, "Hey, don't forget to wag your tail today," and watch them smile. Sid eventually passed at the age of 15, and I was blessed to have him that long. And one thing he taught us up until the day he died was that regardless of how hard, how difficult, or how challenging a day may be, nothing is better than coming home to a wagging tail. Time to wag it. Action step. Wag your tail today. And make sure you tell others to do the same. Wag it, baby. Wag it. Wow number 41. Hustle. Win one for the Gipper. David versus Goliath. shock the world. I've used them all. A few years ago, when my middle son Brady was just 8, I coached his recreation soccer team, and we weren't very good. I always said, we might not be the best soccer team, but I can promise you that Team Impact will be the best conditioned team on the field. Well, going into our final tournament of the season that all teams make, we were the whopping number 8 seed out of 12 teams. In the first game against the number 9 seed, we were down 1-0 at the half. I used the whole win one for the Gipper speech, and it worked like a gem. We won 2-1 and advanced to the next round. In the second game of the day against the number 2 seed, we were down 2-0 at the half. After a David vs. Goliath speech at halftime, we miraculously came back and somehow won 5-3. Despite heavy, tired legs in the third game against the number 5 seed, we were tied 0-0 at the half. And we were tied 2-2 at the end of regulation. Wow. Time for penalty kicks. At the end of 5 penalty kicks, we were still tied. So we went into sudden death penalty kicks. And on the 7th kick, Team Impact shocked the world. Well, at least us parents. And we won. The team went bananas, dogpiled on each other, and it was an absolute pandemonium. We advanced to the finals, and this time it was against the top team in the league. So in the 4th game of the day, and coming off an emotional high, we had to immediately head into the finals with no rest, exhilarated and excited, but also exhausted. I knew these little kids didn't have much in the tank, and I knew the other team was only playing their 3rd game of the day. So I had to employ every tactic in the book. I'd already used win one for the Gipper, already used David vs. Goliath and shocked the world. After introducing them to taking a few deep breaths, all I talked about was hustle. That whether we won or lost in the finals, I just wanted to see them compete and fight and show heart and show hustle. We lost the game. As a matter of fact, we got smoked about 7-1. I stopped counting when the clinic the other team was putting on scored the first 5 goals. And I couldn't stop thinking about how darn proud I was to see my tired little boys out there hustling, competing, playing hard, and even getting a goal in the second half. When at halftime, one of my kids asked, "Do we get a second place ribbon?" I was reminded that I was coaching 8, 9, and 10-year-olds and just smiled and said yes. It was a memorable experience, one of true impact for those kids. I don't think they'll ever forget the exhilaration of winning in penalty kicks or finishing 2nd in the league after a year that was marked by mediocre outcomes, but also slow and steady improvement. Sometimes you are dead dog tired and you can't muster up any more energy to do what you need to do. But that's when you have to find the strength and the hustle to find a way to get the job done. Whether you're 8 years old or 80 years old, you gotta keep hustling in life. When you do, great things happen. And even if your season starts slow or it's just trudging along, just keep hustling. Great things will happen. Thanks, Team Impact, for teaching me a life lesson. You gotta dig down deep when you're tired. And when all the motivational talks are done, just keep hustling, Coach Todd. Action step. Where in your life are you doing a good job hustling? Are there any areas of your life that you feel you could do a better job hustling to get the results you want to get in your life? Now go hustle. Wow number 42. Number 42. Jackie Robinson was one of the best baseball players of all time. And in 1940, he broke out of the Negro Baseball League and made the Brooklyn Dodgers. Now realize this. This was a very tumultuous time for a black athlete to be stepping into a league that was all white. His life was in jeopardy. People wanted to kill him and his firstborn son. They wouldn't let him sleep in the team hotels. Opposing managers and fans would jeer him. Heck, even a few of his own teammates didn't agree with having a black player on the team and in that league. Now think about that. What if that were you? How scared would you be? How scared do you think he was? How much courage do you think it took Jackie Robinson to show up day in and day out receiving hate mail, threats, and constant criticism? Do you think he sometimes feared for his life? Number 42 changed the game. Jackie Robinson had amazing courage and bravery. He was persistent, and he always took the high road when in the face of confrontation. And he was a superstar athlete, one of the very best. How about you? What are you scared of today? Where is fear holding you back from being your best? From changing the game? From being a pioneer or a trailblazer? You see, everyone has fear. Fear of success or fear of failure. The bottom line is this. You never let fear stop you from being your best. Let fear motivate you. Let fear catapult and propel you to be a pioneer. Let's be more like number 42, a trailblazer, a pioneer, a leader, a winner. One of my clients and latest mentors, Pastor David Jeremiah of Turning Point Church, featured in Wow Number 50, once said something extremely powerful about fear to me. If what you are doing doesn't scare you, then you're not dreaming big enough and walking by enough faith. Now that is powerful. Thank you, Jackie Robinson, for teaching us to stand up for what we believe in, despite objection, ridicule, mocking, hazing, and everything you had to endure to change the times. Now it's time to be more like number 42. Let's get going. Action step. What do you fear the most right now in your life? And what can you do to use fear to motivate you and not paralyze you? Wow, number 43. Traditions with Dad. One of my favorite traditions when I was a boy was spending time with my dad in our local Hallmark card store on his birthday. I can vividly remember between the ages of 10 to 15 going to the Hallmark store and reading every birthday card made for dads. Because I didn't have money to buy the cards, we would just read them together and pick out the ones that would make us laugh. My memories of those 15 to 20 minutes we spent together in the card store each year still fill me with love and gratitude. My dad died of a heart attack when I was 20 years old, and he has been gone for over 20 years now, February 19th, 1992. But I still think about that birthday tradition every February 6th. And on that date, I still always go over to the local card shop and spend about 20 minutes just perusing through the dad birthday cards, just like we used to. 20 minutes of smiling, laughing, and remembering. Sometimes the simplest traditions are the most meaningful. Card shopping with my dad didn't cost a dime, but it was a great celebration of his birthday. We shared time together, and it became our tradition. Time. It's the most precious commodity each of us have to share with one another. How is it that we get a fresh supply of it every day, yet we never seem to have enough? I know what you're thinking. I'm always so busy. Heck, I'm right there with you. But every February 6th, albeit even for a few minutes, I put a lid on my crazy, busy, typical day and make a trip to the car store in honor of my dad and our birthday tradition from so many years ago. And I never regret that time. It always puts a smile on my face and a tear in my eye. Sometimes we get so caught up in all that we have to do. Our to-do list seems to go on forever, but with all the hustle and bustle of work and family life, we really are at risk of missing the forest for the trees. We have great intentions to spend quality time with loved ones. We dream about family vacations, romantic getaways, total relaxation, mellow yellow time, call it what you will. But does it happen enough? Are you making memories? Are you creating traditions? My friend, nothing is as valuable as the gift of your time. After most of my visits to the car store on February 6th, I go home and I break open the folder of all Dad's handwritten letters he wrote to me when I was in college. Can you imagine? I received a handwritten letter from my dad every single day while I was at William & Mary. 24 years later, they still impact me greatly. So here's my message for you. Don't wait for a birthday or a holiday to start an awesome tradition with someone you love. Ask yourself, what can I do to create a tradition that will impact someone I love today? And maybe for generations, handwrite a letter to your spouse or your child. Write a love letter to that someone special, just like you used to. Start calling or texting once a day just to say hi or I love you. Surprise an older parent with an entire day of your time. Offer to do anything they want or need. Cooking, cleaning, gardening, home repairs, lunch in a movie, a walk on the beach, shopping. Book a vacation. Anywhere, any length, any time. Videotape an interview-style gratitude journal at your next family gathering. Upload it to YouTube with an unlisted video link just for your family and friends. Call your best friend and play hooky for a day. Go to baseball spring training in Arizona or Florida. Interview a grandparent or older parent and take notes. Show your interest in their early memories and beloved stories. Pay the day rate at the nicest hotel in your town, get in a great workout, and lounge around at the pool and spa for a whole day. Start a game night or movie night tradition in your home. Stop wondering if you would enjoy camping and find out. Borrow equipment for your first outing and have an adventure. Really get crazy and pick a night when kids make the rules. Be ready for ice cream for dinner and sleeping in a tent in the backyard or family room. Video each member of your family telling a bedtime story or recalling their favorite memory. Plan a regular mother-son or father-daughter outing. Reverse it up to next time. Go online to one of the photo sites, Shutterfly.com or CostcoPhotoCenter.com, and create a Why I Love You or an I Think You're Awesome photo book for someone special. And of course, visit your local card store on special occasions, just like my dad and me. Traditions are what memories are built upon. They don't have to cost any money at all, but they do require some thoughtfulness, effort, and dedication. It's all about time, our most precious resource. No matter if you can share 20 minutes, 20 hours, or 20 years, spend time with a loved one and start a new tradition. Get busy making memories that will keep you smiling, laughing, and remembering. They will fill you with love and gratitude. Two of my favorite things. Action step, choose one thing from above and take action on creating that memory today. Wow, number 44, gratitude. There is nothing quite like the feeling of an attitude of gratitude. As a matter of fact, if you're feeling stressed, anxious, or unhappy, spend more time in gratitude. By doing so, it really helps you feel better and live better also. After Hurricane Sandy ravaged my beloved Jersey Shore in 2012, I grew up in Brick, New Jersey, on the shore. My wife and I started the Durkin Impact Foundation. For years, I'd always wanted to start a foundation, but never got around to it. Until this disaster struck. I just had to do it immediately. Within 3 months, our fundraising efforts raised over $80,000, and we were able to donate 100% of that money to those directly affected by Sandy. All in all, 15 big checks went out to people in dire straits stemming from Hurricane Sandy. And it felt really good to do that. A few weeks later, I received two handwritten thank you cards from recipients expressing their heartfelt thanks. And another person left an emotional voicemail expressing their thanks. You could feel the emotion in their voice, and you could discern it in their writing. It made me think about gratitude. It made me think about appreciation, and it made me think about the power of a handwritten thank you card and voicemail. The wow is gratitude. You don't need to start a foundation out of gratitude, but you can give of your time, energy, or money to philanthropic efforts that align with your passion. One of my best practices now is keeping a gratitude journal. Several days a week, for 5 to 10 minutes, I write what I'm grateful for in my journal. For example, here's a recent journal entry I did on gratitude. Gratitude, number one, Melanie. Her health, love, and support. She really is my biggest cheerleader and support. Two, my kids. Luke, Brady, and McKenna are all unique and special in their own right. Continue to bless them with encouragement, praise, and love. Three, my mother. She's 82 years old now. There's not a single phone conversation that goes by that I don't just cherish. I'm grateful for her voice and love. My extended family, my 7 brothers and sisters, Stephen, Paul, Patty, Pam, Mary Beth, Judy, and Karen. I love having 2 older brothers and 5 older sisters. And while I don't get to talk or see them as much as I want, I am grateful they are in my life. Please bless over their health and happiness. Number 5, Fitness Quest 10. Our entire team, all of our clients, the actual brick and mortar, our sanctuary, where we work to share our passion every day. That is a blessing, and I'm extremely grateful that I get to do what I love every single day. Number 6, my own health. It is said that he who has his health has 1,000 dreams. He who does not has 1. I am so thankful that I have my health and I feel vibrant, empowered, energized, and inspired to help transform people's lives. 7, my mastermind. Man, I love my mastermind. I love having the opportunity to coach hundreds of fit pros on an ongoing basis. They really do inspire me to do even more profound work, and I love seeing them do incredible work also. 8, speaking at various conferences and events worldwide. 2 of my passions are speaking and traveling, and because I get to combine them, it makes me full of even more passion. I never want to take for granted the 1, 2, 100,000 or more people that might go to an event to hear me speak or present. I am honored and grateful whenever I have the opportunity to speak on the platform. Hashtag keep the fire. Number 9, the Durkin Impact Foundation. Since starting our foundation in 2013, we have raised over $250,000 that has gone to great causes. Hurricane Sandy victims. We have given scholarships to 19 student athletes who went on to college. I am grateful for this opportunity to give back and hope and pray that it will play an even bigger role in the future. And number 10, my relationship with God. My faith has always been important. Since I was young, God has always been in my life. I was raised Catholic and devoutly went to Mass. Today, I practice as a non-denominational Christian. Here is a recent prayer and one that I often pray. Lord, please be in my heart and in my head. Provide me the courage to continue leading on all levels. And Lord, allow me to follow your will, not mine. Whatever your path is for me, give me the strength, courage, and knowledge to follow your purpose for me so that I can in turn glorify you. Thank you. Amen. There you have it. 10 things that I'm grateful for. I know it's quite personal, but after all, it is my personal journal entry. And I encourage you to be real in yours also. Gratitude, it's your wow. Why? Because we have so much to be grateful for, the little things and the big things. I have found that you don't want to wait until Thanksgiving to be grateful. It's better to live an attitude of gratitude right now and every day moving forward. Much love and much thanks. Action step. Take time to journal in your wow journal or even start a gratitude journal. Maybe it's just 10 minutes per night for the next week. There is no right or wrong way. You can bold out who or what you are most grateful for and who or what you most appreciate. You can write it out in paragraphs. The point is that you're actually taking conscious time to consciously express gratitude, and that shifts your mindset and energy in really powerful ways. Wow number 45, change and your big 5. There are 4 guarantees in life: birth, death, taxes, and change. And while most people don't love change, change is also inevitable. It's part of growth. Maybe the change is small, or maybe it's big. Possibly it's physical, or maybe it's mental or emotional or spiritual, relational or professional or career related. Regardless, all change involves transition, and all transition involves change. If there are things in your life that you keep saying over and over and over that you're going to do, lose weight, create a certain product or program, become an author or a speaker, take a special trip, do this, do that, what are you waiting for? Seriously, what are you waiting for? At the same time, I know many people in times of transition right now. Transitions in the workplace, transitions in phases of life, transitions with family, transitions with relationships, transitions personally. Realize that in times of transition, there are many uncertainties, and that can be scary. But that's also life, and it's also the beauty of living. There is yin and yang. There is light and dark. There is sun and rain. There are peaks and valleys. There are highs and lows. And there is winning and losing. And without one, you can't appreciate the other. Ultimately, life's continued challenge is to embrace the new opportunities, the possibilities for personal growth, and unexpected new adventures that transitions and change provide. Maybe it comes down to getting back to your best practices, reading 30 minutes a day or more on personal development, cleaning up your diet, including more cardio with your program, getting body work more regularly, or maybe it has to do directly with your profession or your career. Change doesn't necessarily mean you need to quit your job and go elsewhere. Sometimes people think it takes extreme measures to change. Not always. The grass is not always greener on the other side of the fence. Maybe it just requires more effort on your end to create the change you wish to see within your organization. Maybe you can become the social media director within your brand, or contribute to posting blogs, or run all online content, or manage the website, or maybe you want nothing to do with any of that. Maybe you need to get outside the four walls of your facility or business to connect with more prospects and get more clients, or maybe you need to reach out more to existing customers to assist with client retention, or maybe you need to deliver more and then some customer service. I learned this universal principle many years ago. To get more, you must give more, and you must serve more. All of it takes effort and change, but you must be intentional about your stated actions. Ask yourself these two questions. What five things do I most want to accomplish in my lifetime? And number two, what five things do I want to accomplish this year? And are your current efforts and focus helping you achieve what you set out to do for the year and for your life? If so, stay focused and keep plowing forward. If not, it's time to change. Action step. Answer the two pressing questions that can help get or keep you on the right track to live out your purpose. Number one, what five things do you most want to accomplish this year? And number two, what five things do you most want to accomplish in your lifetime? Now let's start changing. Wow, number 46, Disney. Dad, we like you better at Disney. Melanie and I took our three kids to Disneyland when they were 8, 6, and 3 for a summer vacation. 3 days at the happiest place on earth. Well, at least that's what they said it was. Disneyland really is an amazing adventure filled with laughter, smiles, tons of rides. My personal favorites are Space Mountain and Thunder Mountain Railroad. And very happy children and parents. If you visited an amusement park in the summer months, you know firsthand that each visit comes with plenty of time to hang out with family and friends. This is code for standing in line. I came home wiser for the experience and wanted to share some thoughts with you. Call it a vision, call it a BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal. Call it what you want. But the story of how Walt Disney created his magic kingdom is amazing. And the magic he brought to millions of people worldwide is truly inspiring. I think there's a lesson here for all of us. I know there were one or two for me also. First, I'll give you a little background. Walt Disney's path to becoming an entertainment giant and international icon wasn't easy, and neither was the path to building Disneyland. But it's pretty interesting. Walt bought land amidst the strawberry farms in Anaheim despite much public rebuke. And when Disneyland opened on July 17, 1955, opening day was such a disaster, insiders later referred to it as Black Sunday. A plumbing strike forced a choice between running toilets or drinking fountains. Walt chose properly functioning toilets over drinking fountains and then woke to scorching temperatures that day. His carefully planned invitation-only event for 11,000 people quickly turned into 28,000 people due to counterfeit tickets. Recently poured asphalt wasn't dry by opening, and women's heels sank into the streets and pathways. A gas leak forced the closure of Adventureland, Frontierland, and Fantasyland, making it impossible for guests to enjoy most of the park. In other words, opening day at Disneyland was less about magic and more about malfunction. Walt was no stranger to adversity. Filing for bankruptcy earlier in his career was just one bump in the road. But through it all, he remained true to his vision. What began with a disastrous start eventually became the Magic Kingdom we all know and love. Folks, Walt Disney created impact. So here I was at Disney, pondering the magic all around me. How did he do it? How did he build something that has given so much joy to so many millions of people for so many years? In other words, how could this man have created an environment so magical that people willingly wait in line for an hour or more just to enjoy a 2-minute ride and then declare his creation the happiest place on earth? It took no more than 2 young boys to show me how it was done. My sons Luke and Brady gave me the answer to my question, and I'd like to pass it along to you. There I was on day 2, standing in a long line with my boys who were dying to go on Splash Mountain. It was about a 60-minute wait and would be our 5th ride of the day. Everyone's patience was wearing thin, so we agreed it was an excellent time for rock, paper, scissors. Many games later, we were ready for the big game. The winner would be the Grand Poopah, rock, paper, scissors, champion of the world. Just then, my 8-year-old son Luke stops, looks at me, and says, "Dad, Brady and I have been talking. We like you better at Disneyland." I laughed and thought, "What? My kids like me better at Disney? What's that supposed to mean?"